This is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and I'm on a witch hunt today. Literally, a witch hunt today. We're talking about witchcraft and Wicca. It's a religion that maybe some of you aren't very familiar with, but it is very fast growing in the United States of America and around the world. You know, the theme song to Bewitched can't help but bring back memories of television shows with Samantha and her husband Darren, and Samantha's squiggling her nose and causing all kinds of supernatural things to happen. And yet, witchcraft isn't all that funny when it's your teenage daughter who's reading Teen Witch, and it's your teenage daughter who is becoming enamored with Wicca and with what is called the old ways. So how, as Christians, are we to engage Wicca? And let me tell you, if you're not thinking about this issue right now, you will be. I walked by in a local bookstore and saw a group of persons gathered around a table reading books together and talking about their common faith. And they weren't Methodists. They weren't Roman Catholics. They weren't Assemblies of God. They were Wiccans who were gathered there in this coffee shop as a coven. And you are going to see more and more young people attracted to the idea of Wicca. The question I want to ask today is not, is witchcraft bad? As evangelical Christians and those who believe the Bible, we understand that witchcraft is something that is condemned by God. We understand that this is a way that leads to death. What I want to ask is, why is it that so many people are attracted to Wicca and to witchcraft and to these goddess religions and these neo-paganisms, and how can we reach them? How can we present the gospel in a way that we can address those who have followed after even witchcraft? I want you to join the conversation at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I'm going to have two guests with us today, one who is a real live witch. No, I'm not saying anything about her character. I'm saying she calls herself a witch. She's a follower after what she thinks are the old ways, ways of getting in touch with the earth and with the goddess. And what I want to talk to her about is not to argue with her. What I want to find out is, why does she follow this belief system? Why does she believe these things? And what is it about the church that never reached her? What I'd like to ask you to do is to be praying right now, not only for this ordained priestess in the neo-pagan religion that I'm going to be talking to today, but for all of those who are following after these neo-pagan ideas. Before we do, a few bits of news that are across the headlines today. Rosa Parks died, 92 years old. Rosa Parks, who was a heroine of the civil rights movement, most of you will remember, she's the seamstress who refused to get out of her seat in Montgomery, Alabama, almost 50 years ago. She refused to go to the back of the bus. And that really sent shockwaves across the nation and really demonstrated in the vigor of this little lady that this just wasn't right, that going to the back of the bus because of one's skin color is not just and is not right. And Rosa Parks really caused an entire nation to examine its conscience. She passed away, and we should be in prayer for her family today, but we should also be thankful for what she was able to do and what she was able to cause all of us to think about and to think about still. Also, there's a grim milestone, as one of the headlines puts it. For the United States of America, we have just passed our 2,000th casualty in Iraq, in the fighting in Iraq. Need to remember today our troops who are continuing to be in harm's way, and the fact that the struggle in Iraq is not over. And it doesn't matter how much we seek to minimize it, there is still very real danger in the nation of Iraq. Even though Iraqis have said yes to a new constitution, they have decided to start this new path of trying to become a democracy, and we definitely need to be in prayer for the nation as they begin this process. Also, an interesting thing that Matt Hall in our studio just handed to me, and that is a girl 8 years old in Mount Nebo, Maryland, who's a new hunting legend in the mountains of western Maryland. She killed a 211-pound bear from 50 yards away with her rifle. Now, this girl is 4.5 feet tall and 8 years old, but she said, "I shot that bear. I was scared because bears will eat anything. But I'm really, really happy," she says. "They won't eat now. They won't eat a thing." Now, the Humane Society is not celebrating this. As a matter of fact, they said the governor is, quote, "personally responsible for exposing young children and young bears to this cruelty." So, there you have it. Do you admire this little girl for being able to make this shot? Or do you think her parents were wrong to take her out there? Well, think about that one for a little while. But you have to say, an 8-year-old girl who is able to kill a 211-pound bear, that's pretty impressive. Witchcraft. Wicca. You walk into your neighborhood bookstore, you go to the spirituality section, to the New Age section, and just take a look around. You're going to find books on magic spells. You're going to find books on incantations. You're going to have books on potions. You can go on the internet and find all kinds of instructions for having spells, for having an ability to create a love potion. You're going to have all kinds of information on witchcraft. And right now, as we're moving toward Halloween, you've got the annual celebrations that are gearing up in Salem, Massachusetts, where those who are self-proclaimed witches are gathering together in Salem and saying, we're in a new day in the United States of America. No longer are witches persecuted in their view, but witches now can be celebrated. And as a matter of fact, Wicca, this religion that I really think is a made-up religion. I mean, you have a group of people taking some myths about the past, that once there was this golden age in which everyone worshipped a goddess and you had this peaceful matriarchal society, that really is an appealing myth to a lot of people, in which people were in touch with the earth and in touch with nature and in touch with one another. And they take that and they create this new religion called Wicca, the craft, and we have more and more people identifying themselves as pagans or neo-pagans or witches or Wiccans. We even have Wiccan chaplains in some hospitals. You have Wiccan priestesses speaking on your public access television networks. And you have Wiccan magazines. New Witch magazine is available in your local bookstore. And the ones who are most susceptible to following after Wicca, I see as two groups: teenage girls and women who have had bad experiences with men and with the church. Now, this is something we could sit around and say, oh, witchcraft is to be condemned, and witchcraft is awful, and witchcraft is evil. But if we're a mission people, if we're a Great Commission people, we need to know how to share the gospel and to carry the gospel to all peoples and to all nations, and that includes to witches. So how do you share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone who will tell you at this season of the year, a high holiday for those who believe in Wicca and in all of these pagan religions, how do you say to that Wiccan woman, and it's usually a woman, how do you say to her, Jesus loves you, Jesus died for you? How can we have churches that can seek to address the concerns, the fears of Wiccans? I want you to join the conversation. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We're about to have a real live Wiccan priestess. She says she's not Wiccan, she's Dianic. Turns out they have denominations too. But we're going to have her on the line. But there may be some of you out there who have come out of Wicca, come out of witchcraft. I want to hear your story. What caused you to rethink the gospel of Jesus Christ? What caused you to come back to the church, or to come to the church for the first time? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. Maybe some of you out there who have had children, teenagers perhaps, who are dabbling in witchcraft and in the dark arts. How were you able to address that? How were you able to come in and say, no, 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 I want to show you a more excellent way? Give us a call, 877-893-8255, and let us know how you deal with this, because I can guarantee you that we have callers right now who are finding Ouija boards in their children's rooms. They're finding New Witch magazine in their children's bedrooms, and they're asking, what in the world can I do when I've got a teenage daughter who's a witch, a teenage son who's a warlock? And sometimes we have pastors who are saying, what do I do with the lady who's been visiting, sitting on the back back row that I just found out she's not visiting us from another church. She's coming from a coven. A coven. How do you address that with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Join the conversation at 877-893-8255. And when I come back, I'm going to be talking with a ordained high priestess of the Reformed Congregation of the Goddess International. She says she is a witch. She believes in the goddess Diana. She believes in magic. She believes in witchcraft. What she doesn't believe in is Jesus Christ. And what she doesn't believe in is the gospel. What I want to find out from her is why? What would turn you to, of all things, witchcraft? Join the conversation at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
That old black magic has me in its spell.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Black magic, white magic. What do you do with this emphasis on magic, especially in the Wiccan religion and in all of these neo-pagan religions that seem to be very high profile right now as everyone is looking to witches and witchcraft as we come up upon Halloween? I want to take this opportunity to talk about how do we dialogue and engage with the gospel those who believe in, well, witchcraft. And we have with us on the line Beletsa Squilacci, who is an ordained priestess of the Reformed Congregation of the Goddess International. Beletsa, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you, Mr. Moore.
Good to have you with us. I'm wondering, as an evangelical Christian, when I'm thinking about how you have the growth of all of these pagan and neo-pagan and earth religions, could I just ask you, what drew you to this type of belief? I'm assuming you didn't grow up in some type of goddess religion.
Well, actually, I did.
You did? Okay. Well, tell me about that. What was it like growing up in that kind of environment?
Well, I come from a family of Italians who have a practice called stregoneria. And so it was a natural evolution for me as a child growing up and going through the mainstream academics to do and to think a little bit differently than a lot of mainstream people were thinking. And the belief structure that my family gave me is very similar to what Wiccan practices are. That's a love and an honor of the earth and the seasons and cycles. And so it's a very simple transition, and I think that this is what draws a lot of people, whether they live in a rural community or in the big metropolitan area such as Los Angeles, where I'm living now.
Well, what do you think it is about, say, Wicca and your particular group? To whom are you accountable? In terms, as a Christian, for instance, I believe that I am accountable to my Creator, my Father, my King, and it is to Him that I will give an account for my life. Is there any kind of a parallel in your belief system?
Absolutely, yes. We have a lot of strong ethics, and when you talked earlier about the difference between black and white magic, mm-hmm. that's almost a joke in the Wiccan community, because the ethics of how we practice and what we believe is that whatever energy we send out returns to us tenfold. So obviously, if you're going to send out any sort of negative energy, you need to expect to be hit by that.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, when we pray, and we pray for positive results and healing. We pray for tolerance of diversity. We pray for inclusion. And in RCG, Reformed Congregation of the Goddess, we accept women wherever they are in whatever their religious background is, because what we do is practice our spirituality together.
To whom do you pray?
It's an interesting thing when you determine what the name of your deity is. Do you give it a gender? Do you say God or do you say goddess? And I would say that a lot of women have chosen to use the term goddess as opposed to God, only because it represents the divine feminine that exists in all of us, whether you're male or female.
Mm-hmm. So it's really an internal kind of praying.
Well, it is internal and it is external as well. And for us, if you are of an earth-based religion, you also believe that creation and the creator or creatrix is all around you, that the earth, it represents, not only represents and is the metaphor and the symbology, but is indeed part of creation and therefore part of our deity.
What do you think of Christians, of those who follow Jesus Christ and that belief system?
I'm not sure if I understand your question. A lot of my closest friends are Christians. I don't see a separation of it. It's one globe and one people if you get far enough away from the earth. And the responsibility that Wiccans feel is to the earth and to the wholeness of this, and if you harm one part of the earth and one part of the of a country or a part of the population, you harm us all. And so for me, as a priestess, as an ordained priestess of RCG, I believe in inclusion of all of those belief systems, and that in sitting in a conference, whether you are Christian or Buddhist or Jewish or pagan, it's all the same. We just name it differently.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about, though, I believe that there is a distinction, a complete distinction between the creator and the creation, and that when I am praying, I'm not praying to just some divine force that's within all of us. I'm praying to a being outside of the creation who created it.
Okay,
and I'm accountable to him in terms of guilt and sin.
Well, I don't necessarily believe in guilt and sin.
Okay.
I believe in responsibility.
What would be the difference there in responsibility and guilt and sin?
I think guilt and sin is levied upon us by an outside group of people,
uh-huh,
who say that I should believe and perform and act in a certain way, and responsibility is my internal ethics. I think my internal ethics are much stronger than the rules and regulations that surround me.
But wouldn't that differ from person to person? So that I could have, for instance, an internal code of ethics that would say killing is all right, or lying is all right, or any number of things.
That's true.
Wow. Well, I just want to say, Belisa, we appreciate you being on the show today, and I want to encourage you to think about the claims of Christ and to think about the fact that maybe there really is such a thing as sin and guilt and condemnation and judgment, but that there is a God who has given a means of escape from that condemnation in the person of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you.
I understand that, and I would invite you and your listeners to check out our website at rcgi.org and see what we believe a little bit more, too. And it's not that either one of us are trying to make a conversion of the other's beliefs, but more...
I am. I really believe it would be good for you, and it would be in your best interest to come to know reality through Jesus Christ and to come to know forgiveness of sins.
You know, I do know him. I really do know him. And I have found another way, and I think that other way it works for me.
All right. Well, thank you, Belisa Squillace, for being on the Albert Mohler program today. Ladies and gentlemen, we've just heard from a woman who says she's found a belief system that really places a code of ethics within herself. She doesn't believe in an ethical code on the outside coming from other people or coming from a lawgiver. She also believes that the creation itself is divine and that there's a divine feminine within all of us. And really, this lady, who is very kind and very soft-spoken, she represents a lot of people. Maybe you don't see the local coven in your community in the same way that you might see the First Methodist Church or the First Presbyterian Church down the street, but they're there. And the question is, how are you going to address the gospel to someone like Belisa Squillace, a priestess of the goddess in the Wiccan religion? And frankly, there aren't a whole lot of people like her who grew up in witchcraft. Most of the people who are attracted to this are coming out of our churches. They grew up in Vacation Bible School. They grew up in Sunday school. What is it that they're finding attractive about Wicca, and how can we provide something that is true, the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ, that gives them true freedom? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Sharing the gospel with those who are in witchcraft. Which way from here? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and today we're talking about witches, witchcraft, Wicca. How does the Christian church engage those who are involved in neo-paganism and forms of witch belief? I mean, how do you engage a young girl who is reading Wiccan materials, who is beginning to think that Wicca is the way for her? How do you share the gospel with a young woman, perhaps who's been abused by men, by her father, by her husband, by her boyfriend, who now is saying, what I want is a female-centered religion, and I find that in Wicca? How does the church proclaim a gospel that can reach people like that? What about the young boy who thinks he can gain power by becoming a warlock, by embracing some form of witchcraft? How do you engage these people with the gospel? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But before that, I have someone on the phone with me who has written a book called Wicca's Charm, Understanding the Spiritual Hunger Behind the Rise of Modern Witchcraft and Pagan Spirituality, Catherine Edwards Sanders. Catherine Sanders has written for the Weekly Standard. She's written for the Washington Times, for World Magazine. She also has been a writer for the McLaughlin Group television program and as a producer for Janet Parshall's America, a talk radio program here on the Salem Network. And the thing that I found very interesting about Catherine Sanders' book is that as she's going through what's happening in the phenomenon of Wicca, there's not a condemnatory spirit here. There is a real Great Commission fervor for these women, mostly women, who are involved in this religion, and there is a real spirit of love in this book as she's explaining why it is that people are attracted to the Wiccan religion. And so I am very grateful and glad to have Catherine Sanders with us on the program today. Catherine, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
I found your book fascinating as you talk about talking to women who are involved in Wicca and others who are involved in Wicca and other neo-pagan religions. Most people, I just spoke with a Wiccan priestess a few moments ago who grew up in a witchcraft family, but that's very rare. Most people convert into these religions. Is that not true?
That is true, yes. I would say that the majority of people I talk to had grown up in the church and had left that for Wicca. There are a few that like her, grew up, you know, in a family like that or grew up without any religion. But the majority in America have left the church.
So they're rejecting something in the church. What is it that they're not getting in the church or that they don't think they're getting in the Christian church?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I have found that a lot of the encounters that these people have had with people that profess to be Christians, these Christians don't really have a full understanding of Scripture themselves. Churches that neglect the Holy Spirit entirely, churches that don't really honor women like Scripture commands us to do, churches that are just, sort of self-focused and not really reaching out. A lot of Wiccans tend to be interested in social causes, and churches that don't do this, or also churches that you know, a lot of women, that young women I talked to had been wounded somehow, had experienced abuse, unfortunately. Some Roman Catholic young people had experienced abuse, and, you know, this is the church not being what it was commanded to be, and they're fleeing that.
Now, one of the things you mentioned is that in Wicca, some women are finding a refuge from the objectification of women in our culture.
Right.
Where do you see that? How does that work?
Well, it's really interesting. You know, a lot of people equate, a lot of Wiccans equate, you know, the culture at large as being, quote, Christian, which is interesting. So they would, you know, the fact that, you know, Botox is popular, there's so much focus on body image, and And it's interesting, particularly teenagers that I talked to that were interested in Wicca would try to engage teenagers that were professing to be Christians, and the teenage Christians were as interested in these things and finding their self-worth and in how they look and all this. And Wiccans thought, well, gosh, surely there's something more. I don't want to be loved and get my self-esteem from how I look. I want there to be more than that. And so they find themselves sort of jumping headlong into this goddess worship and Wicca, and think that that's where they're going to get be honored.
Well, thank you, Catherine Sanders, not only for speaking to us briefly today, but for writing this book, Wicca's Charm. I would really advise that you read this book and see someone who has journeyed along with those who are involved in Wicca and other neo-pagan religions and does so with a burden for them. We're going to come back in a few minutes, and I want to talk to you about how do we as a church address some of these inadequacies that Catherine Sanders has just talked about. How do we reach those who are involved in Wicca and witchcraft and paganism? Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How would you advise a dad who's found Wiccan materials in his daughter's room? How would you advise the church to preach on these things? 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. The witch is not dead. The witch is alive and well, and witchcraft certainly is growing, as a matter of fact, all across the United States of America. And what you have are a lot of mostly girls who've grown up in Christian churches who are now turning to Wicca and to witchcraft. And what I want to know is, how do we engage these people with the gospel? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. We have Charlie on the line calling from Knoxville, Tennessee, listening on XM Radio. Charlie, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
How do you do, Dr. Moore? Does Albert Mohler know what kind of music you play?
I don't know if he does or not.
I had an unfortunate experience, and I pray that people do not do what I did this weekend.
Okay.
When they found their daughter brought up in a church, confessing Christian, saying, finding her with Wicca material in her purse.
Mm. How did you deal with that?
Not very well.
Uh-huh.
I started out just confronting her with it, and she actually got mouthy with me.
Okay.
And it degraded from there, because then I started yelling. It took a while for me to calm down.
Sure.
And during my yelling match, basically, I told her if she wants to practice that, she's going to have to practice it somewhere else. I am in training to be a pastor.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tolerate it, period. But after I calmed down, we separated for a few minutes. I just asked her, I said, what does darkness have to do with the light? You know, because she claims to love God with all her heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, we had a good discussion, and I don't know if what the fruit of it is. Unfortunately, I'm an over-the-road truck driver, so it's partially my fault for not being there to supervise.
Sure. Well, what did she say is drawing her to Wicca? What's attractive about it to her?
What she was saying is she was trying to use it as apologetic. To understand it.
Oh, okay.
But my wife informed me before I had the confrontation with my daughter that she was talking about hexing some girl's fingernails off.
Mm-hmm. Well, Charlie, I'm certainly going to be in prayer for you, because that is a very difficult situation, and I think there are many parents who would have reacted exactly the way you did in fury. And yet, Charlie's right. We need to know how to confront lovingly our children when they're involved in things like this, and to redirect them through discipleship back toward the truth of the gospel. We have Gary on the line calling from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Gary, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. Gary, are you there? No, Gary is gone. We have Luke who is calling. Luke, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, Dr. Moore. Thank you for taking my call.
Glad to. What's your thought today?
I can't really comment. I would say I can't really comment on what in particular draws people away from the Christian church towards Wicca, but what draws them to the actual Wiccan religion or Wiccan spirituality, however you want to put it. I can definitely see a lot in my own experience with people that I've known in the past. It seems that a lot of emphasis is put on the ability of the person to kind of create their own religion, their own spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think that's exactly right. I think that's what you can see, even in the priestess that we talked to today, who said you find that divine within yourself, name her the goddess in her case, and really she's worshiping herself. And that's not unique to her. I mean, it's not as though we should say she is somehow absolutely horrible and absolutely different because she's following this through witchcraft. The Apostle Paul tells us in the Epistle to the Romans that all of us do that, that we all seek to idolize the self. What they're doing through Wicca is really no different than what every other non-Christian, including all of us before Christ, we're doing. And we need to recognize that when we're talking to Wiccans, we were all Wiccans once, in a very real sense. Thank you, Luke, for that comment. What do you think? How do we engage people who are involved in Wicca? What is it about Christianity that is driving some people away from it and toward even witchcraft? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How would you talk to someone who says, I believe that all of the earth is divine, and I believe that I can name the divine within myself and name her a goddess, name her anything? How would you engage this? Give me a call, 877-893-TALK. We have Rose, who is calling from Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on WTSJ. Rose, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Oh, hi. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
I was just saying, I was just wondering, I wanted to ask the witch that you had on there a question, but I know she left. I was wondering, what are some of the signs that a woman is involved in witchcraft? I know someone who always burns things in her yard, and I was just wondering, is that a sign of a ritual?
Burns like trash in her yard? Or
Mostly, I guess, twigs and plastics.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure, Rose, about that. I think that usually these days, someone who's involved in witchcraft is quite willing to tell you that. If I were you, I would talk to the neighbor and say, hey, why are you burning these twigs out in the backyard? Usually somebody who's involved in this type of paganism is going to be more than willing to say, yeah, I'm involved in Wicca. And that'll open up an opportunity for you to share the gospel with her. We have Dave, who is listening in Cleveland, Ohio on WHKW. Dave, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Thank you, Dr. Moore. That last call that you took and the comments afterward kind of made me think that maybe that it's not really Christianity that's driving a lot of these women away from the Christian church,
mm-hmm.
but that maybe it's the actual churches, whatever specific churches they're attending. Especially, I'd be willing to bet that probably a good portion of these are former Catholics who maybe are turned off by the paternal nature of the Catholic Church, and maybe that just is kind of intimidating to them, or just something that they don't appreciate.
Well, I don't think that in my experience looking around that there's any differentiation of people leaving Catholic churches and leaving evangelical churches. I think it's just a rejection of Christianity itself. Now, often that manifests itself in churches that don't teach and preach real Christianity. I think that Catherine Sanders made that quite clear. And churches that don't show love for one another. But you have a rejection of Christ in a lot of these cases. How do we show Christ to those who are attracted to witchcraft? How do we give a gospel that can reach even through the darkness of witchcraft? 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller, and this is the Albert Mueller Program.
I told the witch doctor you did love me true. I told the witch doctor you did love me nice. And then the witch doctor, he gave me this advice. He said that...
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller. There was a time when witches and witchcraft and witch doctors were just kind of a fun element of American pop culture. That day is now over. Witchcraft is now very serious, and not only for Christians, it's very serious for those who practice Wicca, even those who wouldn't call themselves witches, but would say we're in touch with the earth, we're in touch with the universe through an earth-based neo-pagan religion. We're talking about how to engage these people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have Peter, who is listening in Albany, Oregon on XM Radio. Peter, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, thank you. My only comment was, you know, the 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be rested in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And I seem to see a common thread, which is to be the power. So many Wiccans and witches, you know, testify to the power that they have, and it certainly is an empowering feeling to, you know, to be empowered with, you know, these different abilities. But there needs to be. There is power in the church. The Word of God says there is, and our faith needs to rest on God's power, the power of the gospel to save. It's the power of love, you know, to keep. But if there's also power, you know, the power of healing and all that God has in the church needs to be alive and well in the church. Otherwise, we tend to have people being deceived because they aren't experiencing it in the church, but they're experiencing it in the world.
Well, Peter, I think you're exactly right about power and the emphasis on power. You know, witchcraft and Wicca and all of these other earth-based religions, they promise not only power, but they promise wisdom. You can understand reality, and you can control the universe in some maybe small way. Well, that's always been the promise of the serpent. What we need to be reminded of in our churches is that the wisdom of God, the power of God, it's not found in the earth. It's not found within. It's found outside of us in Jesus Christ. And when we talk about Jesus to those who are involved in Wicca or those who are involved in self-righteous cultural Christianity, we need to emphasize that power and wisdom, they're not things we can conjure up by our own pious behavior or by some type of incantation. They're things that we must find in a crucified and resurrected Christ. And if we love Wiccans and we believe that Jesus died for Wiccans, we'll be able to preach that message and teach that message and share that message, share it with wisdom, share it with power, because it's the power of Christ. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too. Ah!
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.